following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of AM 1230 WYTS, its staff, management, or parent company, Clear Channel Broadcasting. Listeners should not use Dr. Kavitko's comments and advice in the place of receiving an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kavitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Brian Kavitko on AM 1230 WYTS. Call 821-1230. That's 821-1230 to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kavitko on AM 1230 WYTS. Now for Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 WYTS with Dr. Brian Kavitko. Call 821-1230. That's 821-1230 to discuss your dental issues. Now here's Dr. Kavitko on Talk 1230 WYTS.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko here on Talk 1230 WYTS. Our show is also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but we're just too numb to ask. Good morning, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kavitko, and thank you for joining me on this Sunday morning. Appreciate you getting up early. On the show with me today is going to be Dr. Rasner. You might remember we had Dr. Rasner on a while ago, and he was such a good guest and so interesting. And actually, I didn't get, there were so many questions I still had, and I know you did, that we have invited him back to come on the show again. And we're going to get to Dr. Rasner here in a minute, and as well as reintroducing him, especially to those of you that weren't tuned in when he was on last. But before I do, I want to give out today's question of the day. And Dr. Kavitko's question of the day today is, what percent of dentists offer outside financing? Okay, what percent of dentists offer outside financing? Of course, that's to allow you to get the dental care that you need. We'll take your guesses, and you can call us at 821-1230, or you can send us an email to dentallyspeaking on talk1230@yahoo.com. So, let me reintroduce Dr. Rasner again, so that all of you remember what a wonderful guest he is. Oh, let's see here. Dr. Rasner graduated from the University of Pennsylvania in 1980. He's practiced 29 years in Bridgeton, New Jersey. He has a master's in the Academy of General Dentistry. He's been named the leader in continuing education for 5 consecutive years by Dentistry Today. He has taught in 41 states, in 4 countries, and authored over 60 articles in virtually every major dental journal. And he has also published 2 books. That's pretty impressive. Dr. Rasner, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for getting up early this morning and being on the show with me.
Well, thanks, Doc. Thanks for having me back. I enjoyed it last time, and hope today goes as well.
Oh, I think it will. I don't think there's any chance that it won't. What we were talking about last time is clinical excellence in dentistry, how to achieve success by having clinical excellence. And you talk about this on the lecture circuit. I think you've written about it. And basically, for the patients, the listeners, I'm so used to calling everybody patients, what we're saying is you teach dentists how to be successful, and that would be financially and personally, by doing the best job they can for their patients, correct?
Correct.
Because you can make money in this business by not doing things exactly the right way. And that's kind of sad, but it's true, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, Doc, that wasn't always the title of my lecture. Of course, I have several lectures, but I changed that title on purpose because I wanted the different organizations that were hiring me to know what I stood for. And I did that because, as I'm sure you're well aware, maybe our listeners aren't aware, that as a dentist, you can take a course probably every single day of the year. And I was noticing about 10 years ago that some of the courses would be entitled things like how to do a crown prep in 90 seconds. Seriously, that was a very popular course, by the way. I'm not kidding.
Oh, okay.
And so to our listeners...
You're not kidding?
I'm not kidding.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not kidding. So to our listeners, that meant some of you I know have a cap tooth or a crown tooth, or the same words. There was courses out there teaching dentists like Dr. doctor and myself, Vicko, and the course would be entitled How to Prepare That Tooth of Yours to Receive a Crown in 90 Seconds. Well, there's only one reason that anybody wouldn't do that, and that would be to mill it out real quick and churn it out real quick to make more money, et cetera. You know, Dr. Kavicka's profession and mine is no different than a lot of you listening. There's certainly lawyers and service station owners and people that run laundry services, and there's a way to make money quickly if that's all you want to do. But likewise, it's not unusual for any of us to understand that there are businesses out there that do things, the right way.
Yes.
You know, the way that most of us would want it to be done. And you can still be profitable doing things that way. And for very, you know, very good reasons. And that's why that lecture became entitled that.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's very interesting because I did not know that. And, you know, I just want to say, I have an associate at my office, and I think you do too. And young guy, nice guy. He's a good dentist. But he is faster than I am at some of these procedures. And I just yesterday, I actually was asking my assistant who was helping me, I said, how does Dr. H do that? How does he? Because I'm taking all this time. I'm making sure I haven't forgotten anything. I'm doing this just right, that just right. Can I be that slow, or you know, is he skipping something? And of course, I would assume he's not. I hope he's not. I hope they'd tell me that if he were, because there are certain things you just can't shortcut. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to our audience, you may say, well, how much time do you need to prepare a tooth? Well, in everything in life, there's ways to do things that make a difference. Usually the difference is how long it lasts.
Right.
That's the bottom line. You know, we're not going to bore our listeners to death with what you and I do, but I know one thing. It's consistent with every great dentist that's ever taught me. I'm sure there are a lot of the dentists that have taught you, Doc. There's certain things that you just have to do. Step back and look. Maybe you're looking with a mirror, not just your eyes, to see if you're parallel to the next tooth or whatever. You know, see, and the bottom line to that, doesn't matter what I'm talking about right now, the bottom line is that it makes the product that you and I deliver last longer.
Yeah.
And, you know, that matters to me.
Well, it matters not only that, but then isn't it also, it's better because I guess what you're saying is the same thing. I was going to say if it fits better, it'll last longer, but also it can be more comfortable if we've taken into account the contours, the gum line.
Sure.
The,
there's nobody out there listening right now who doesn't know somebody or hasn't happened themselves that has had dental work done, and whatever it is doesn't feel quite right. And I have a patient like that as well, and sometimes it's something I'm just not sure of. But there's certainly almost never because I skipped a step.
Right.
Because I didn't do something. I did something to speed up the process. No, that's not the reason why. And it sometimes is very much the fact of why somebody has sensitivity under a crown. They can't bite as hard. And I'm not indicting all other dentists.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of dentists are great, or certainly good. And it just comes down to some people run their business, just including dentistry, in a way that results in a product that is not as good. You know what it comes down to, Doc?
Okay.
It comes down to, I like to call it, my standard of what is okay or good enough for the patient is just really, really high. And
right.
I know that's consistent with all good dentists.
Right, right. And in fact, you know, patients, they have no way of knowing what is a high standard. In fact, sometimes they confuse my attempt at delivering the best possible product that maybe takes a little longer with, why is this taking so long? Maybe he doesn't know what he's doing, you know? Or my willingness to send something back to the lab that I don't think is appropriate. It's like people, they're not thinking when they say, oh, me, he must have screwed it up. He didn't get it right the first time, when in reality, it might have been cemented by several offices out there, but I'm looking at it going, you know, it's just not right. Please let me send it back. I understand it's an inconvenience to you, but I would rather do that, wait two more weeks now, and have it be right over the long haul.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, sometimes patients think you're making a mountain out of a molehill and everything's a federal production and et cetera. But, you know, I don't know how you feel. I'm pretty sure knowing you, the years I've known you, that you embrace a lot of the things I embrace. And, you know, isn't it great? I mean, when you really want, I always wanted to be that guy. when you needed a heart doctor, and I know we work on teeth, okay?
Right.
I know I don't work on heart.
Right.
You know, but if I had to have my heart checked for something, I'm pretty sure that I would really want to find somebody who just stood out, was more thorough, had a great reputation for that. And I wanted to be that guy when it came to your teeth.
Yes.
So I just trained for that for the last 30 years. And I know that you've done the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
What comes down to that?
You know, some of this, I believe, comes from insurance companies. There are people that come in and they just want what their insurance covers. And these people, I'm thinking, don't quite understand the difference. And so I guess I have a two-pronged question. And one is, why do you think it is that a lot of people come in and want what that's just their insurance covers? And the other is, why do you think insurance companies call the list of dentists that they have enlisted preferred providers? Answer them in either order you want.
Well, I think it's because of this, number one. I think the reason why a lot of patients are what you're calling insurance-driven. I mean, that's what's on your list, that's what you're going to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very unusual reason for everybody listening right now. It's this. It's that in the profession that Dr. Kavicko and myself chose, that being dentistry, it's unusual because things that are wrong don't always hurt. So imagine if he and I were talking about skin doctoring today, dermatology. You know, if you had a bad rash on your face and your insurance company said, go to Dr. Rasner because he's on our preferred list, and, you know, it was a really unsightly rash and I took months to get rid of it and you just thought that was too long, you wouldn't stay with me. You would leave. It'd be something visible that you could see that I wasn't achieving. But in dentistry, you know, you can have an abscess and not know it.
Yeah, I had a patient that had five that had was referred to me by another office that was closing, five abscesses, and they didn't know about any of them.
And the inclination, and I get it, I understand it. The inclination of that patient is that maybe they don't have five. Maybe you're exaggerating, you know. How mm-hmm. could I have five abscesses? You're one of those dentists looking for work, and you're making stuff up or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to put my head in the sand. There are stories like that with consumers listening right now, you know. And mm-hmm. so the problem with the patient who is insurance-driven and doesn't necessarily seek out the best care is because they may not have any pain. They may not have any issues. And I know that you know and I know what happens to a lot of patients is that you go to good old Dr. Joe for the last 20 years, and you've gone faithfully, and maybe you have a filling there, a filling here, one crown in your mouth, and Dr. Joe retires, and now you're forced to find somebody else.
Yes.
You know, and you find that other person. I want you to know, I've never talked to Dr. Kavicko about this, but I know that we share so many similar feelings about things. When that patient I'm describing comes to my office, I have my be conservative hat on. In other words, I am trying to find the least problems I can find for you for no other reason than I am new to you.
Right.
You know, I actually don't look at you as, oh, well, this is a great opportunity because, you know, you're new and I'll find lots of stuff probably because, you know, that's very common. I'm actually thinking, let me be as conservative. I tell my patients this. I want to be as conservative as I can be with you. There's times you can't be conservative. If you're a good doctor, if you're a good dentist, you can't be conservative if somebody has five abscesses.
Right.
You have to treat them.
Yeah.
There's no way to be conservative with that. It, you know, and conservative, by the way, for the audience, I'm talking about doing the least I think I can do and still keep you healthy. So that would mean if I can do a filling and I don't have to do a cap or a crown, that's what I would do.
Right.
But the problem is I don't always have that luxury, particularly when it comes to things like your gum. You know, you either have gingivitis or gum disease called periodontitis, or you don't.
Right.
There's no in-between. You either do or you don't. And the same with certain abscesses. Fillings, you know, there's some fillings that Dr. Kavicko and myself can look at and say, well, maybe we can wait on this for a little while, you know. And I assure you that is my attitude. That is what I'm trying to do. But when somebody comes in and they have a just a plethora of things that I have to treat, it's disappointing to me more than anything else, because you know what? I don't know if the listeners ever thought about this and get this, but when you're a really good dentist and you do a thorough job 24/7 when you're in your office, you don't have to look for work.
Right.
You don't have to change silver fillings to white to stay busy. And, you know, that's not an indictment of everybody that does silver to white fillings. It's just the fact that you're way busy enough, and probably because your reputation precedes you. It does. You know, when you're ethical and you do things the right way and you do it in the same location for many, many years, I think that gets around town and you don't have to look for stuff to be busy.
But yeah, you're absolutely right. And I tell my folks at my consultation, look, John, if there's anything I've told you that you need and you don't think you need it or you don't want it or you can't afford it, that's okay. There's no pressure. There are plenty of people that do. And when you decide that you're ready, we'll be here. So if you just want us to clean your teeth every so often until you've come to that
that's
decision,
a great way, yeah.
We're here for you. We do have to go to a break.
Okay.
And so remember, the other half of my question was, why do you think insurance companies call those people on list preferred providers?
Oh,
I'm going to get your answer to that when we come back. We also have a caller on the line with a question. Please hold during the break, and we'll get to you here on line one. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on Talk 1230. WYTS, and we'll be right back.
So hear me when I'm saying, smiling faces, smiling faces.
Talk 1230 WYTS, you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Good morning, everybody, and thanks for getting up so early on a Sunday morning to tune in. We are talking to Dr. Stephen Rasner from Bridgeton, New Jersey. Dr. Rasner is a very dynamic dentist. He's been a dentist for 29 years. He lectures all over the country and has been lectured in all over our country as well as four countries total. Been in 41 states. And what we're talking about is excellence in dentistry and how a patient can maybe help patients figure out when they are choosing a dentist, or how to know if you're getting that excellent care, and letting people know that there are differences. So before the break, Dr. Rasner, we asked you if you would answer this question, which is, why did insurance companies call dentists who happen to have signed up on their list preferred providers?
Well, the reason that insurance companies call their dentists preferred providers is because insurance companies are businesses, and that's a form of marketing. So they're not going to say, you can go to a list of our dentists, which aren't necessarily the best dentists available, but they are the ones that are willing to accept our particular fees, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, there's no other way to split it, Doc. That's just a marketing scheme to say they are preferred providers, and because it sounds good.
Right.
But the reality of it is, to our audience listening, is Dr. Kvitko and myself and other dentists all over the country have a choice of participating with certain insurance companies. And if you were running a business of your own, and the way that you had designed your business was to hire really, really good assistants to help you deliver your product, and you decided to use the goods to make your final product from very, very high-end type of companies, and you would have to settle at a price at some place at some point to deliver that product. Like if we called it I can't think of those things. Like gidgets?
The cost. Go ahead.
What am I thinking of? You know, the bottom line I'm trying to say is that we all, you know, I could use, and you could use, Dr. K, you could use the cheapest, and we know, I've never been to your town.
We're going to work on that, actually, by the way.
Okay, great. I would love it. I really would. I would like to come out and see the whole operation.
Okay.
Exactly how you do excellence in dentistry. But, you know, I know that there are people in my town and that have, maybe they do run a good dental practice, but they're guys that as soon as the dental assistant reaches a certain level of what they're supposed to make per hour, they get rid of them.
Right.
This isn't all dentists. It's probably in every business. It's just the way you decide to do it. And they use products, including dental labs and other things, that maybe aren't the highest that are available to us to use. And you can charge a lesser fee for that, or you can do it the way you're comfortable doing it. And, you know, insurance companies aren't sensitive to that. You know, they don't care that I choose to use a dental lab in Stillwater, Minnesota, that happens to be pretty expensive, and I use them What do you think? I use them because they're expensive? I use them because they give me a product that I can put in my patient's mouth that I would put in my own mouth.
Well, it happens to have your name on it, and if something goes wrong, they don't know where it was made, and they just call you.
Exactly. and so, again, the insurance companies just aren't sensitive to that, and they will pay a great range of fees for the same product, depending what company that we decide to use. And it just makes it impossible for a person like myself to use a certain insurance company because I'll literally go broke if I did.
Yeah, I understand. Before I go to our caller, I just want to remind people of the question of the day. Question of the day is, what percent of dentists offer outside financing? Our number is 821-1230. You can send us an email to dentallyspeakingontalk1230@yahoo.com. And so, Nathan, you're on line one. What's your question, please?
Good morning, Dr. Kavicko.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Asner.
Good morning.
I had a question. I had recently switched to a new dentist, and I went in for just like a regular cleaning and my checkup, and they took some x-rays, and I just didn't feel like it was very, very thorough. They were nice enough, it just wasn't very thorough. I was in and out of there in about 30, 35 minutes with everything, so I didn't know if it was just me thinking that's too short, or the doctor didn't spend a whole lot of time with me, so I wasn't sure if that seemed like that was too fast.
I know what my answer would be, but Dr. Asner, what's yours?
Well, I mean, you know, well, my answer, without being cute here, is, you know, no, it's not something that I would consider. It would take me 30 minutes almost just to take you through a medical history, take your blood pressure. I know I said take your blood pressure, and I'm a dentist, I realize that. But we screen out literally every week people with hypertension just because it's part of what we do. And to introduce myself, you know. You know, I was thinking when you were asking your question, because I don't know, it's just the way I am, and you made me think this. I know that you'll probably get this. I didn't get your name.
Nathan.
What was it?
Nathan. Oh, you know what, Dr. Asner? I'm just being given the indication that we're going to need to go to a break, so
okay.
Can you hold your thought and give Nathan the answer? Nathan, if you want to hang on, you can, and you can do follow-up questions. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on Talk 1230 WYTS. We'll be right back.
Tell me you will stay. Make me smile.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavicko, also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but We're Too Numb to Ask. I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kavicko, and thank you for getting up this Sunday morning and tuning in. Today we're talking about excellence in dentistry. We have with us on the phone Dr. Stephen Rasner from Bridgeton, New Jersey. Very dynamic dentist. He's been a dentist for 29 years and lectures all over the country and in four countries total. And also on the phone with us, we have a caller, Nathan, and we hadn't had a chance to get completely to Dr. Rasner's answer for Nathan, so we asked them both to hold. Before we get to that, though, I want to give out some of the guesses that we received to our question of the day. And so far, we've had Andrea call in with a guess of 78%. Jeffrey, 95%. Lindsay, 62%. And this is what percent of dentists offer outside financing. Also, I'd like everyone to know that our show is available by podcast, and you find that by going to www.talk1230wyts.com. Click on the on-air, or rather hold your mouse over the on-air button. A list of people come up, mine being one of them. Click on Dr. Kavicko, and it takes you to my page. And just scroll down below the pictures of the polar bear root canal, and you'll find a thing that says click here to go to podcast page. Also, you can send us emails to dentallyspeakingontalk1230@yahoo.com. So, Dr. Rasner, Nathan's question was in regards to the fact that he went for a cleaning, I assume it was a cleaning exam x-ray appointment, and he was in and out in 35 minutes. And it just didn't seem right to him, and you're about to kind of elaborate for him.
Yeah, well, first let me just answer point blank. You can't do an adequate job in 35 minutes in and out of an office, cleaned, x-rayed, et cetera. Nobody's going to ever convince me otherwise, or I'm sure yourself.
No.
And that's the short answer. And this is something I want to make absolutely clear that I was saying, that Nathan made me think of when he was asking this question to the audience. Just think about this. What could be so bad about this? Especially if you know, when you pick up the telephone and you call your new dental office, and they tell you, listen, the first visit's going to take somewhere between 60 and 90 minutes, probably closer to 90. And if that's not what you want, then you don't have to go to that office. But what could be so wrong with going into an office? And make sure you understand how I'm putting this, because this is the way a lot of dentists do operate. And they're very thorough, and they treat you with value and respect. And they ask you medical questions that may lead to something that you don't even know that should be checked out, whether it's a little bit of hypertension or maybe diabetes or something. I mean, it's that level of care you're getting. And they review your whole mouth, and at the end of the day, at the end of the visit, you say, you know what, I really can't do that. Can you just fix this one chipped tooth? And they say, fine. See, I want to make that clear, because it's not about us finding a bunch of stuff on you and you having to do it all. It's about us just simply revealing the things that are wrong that we know, because we choose to run our offices that way, to be thorough, as opposed to myopic. In other words, looking through a little tiny hole. And what that avoids is you going to the office every 6 months. I know lots of you say this because you share this with me. And you go, every time you go to the office, there's something new wrong. That's not the kind of care we're talking about. And you don't have to. It doesn't mean because it's thorough, it has to be unbelievably expensive and all this stuff you need. You know, we're sensitive to the fact that everybody has other expenses in their life. And some of you right now listening, you want a smile makeover. Some of you listening right now haven't been to the dentist in years and years, and you want to get your mouth fixed up. You know it's not where it should be. But some of you just want a chipped tooth fixed up. And guess what? That's what you're going to get in these thorough offices. And, you know, it's a feeling that Nathan has when you go in and you're in and out in 30 minutes, whether it's for a filling or a new checkup. There's something not right with that. That's all.
Yeah. And it's very true, and I actually have this little scenario that I explain to folks who have asked that same question of me, and it's, there are offices that maybe charge, I don't know, let's say $75 for a visit like that.
Okay.
I'm just making up the numbers. And something that I might charge $100 for. Well, people who are just price shopping are going to think I charge more. But I give my staff as long as it takes to do the job right, which might be at least 60 minutes, probably longer. It is more like an hour and a half, and we do have people wonder why it takes so long. But I had a hygienist who was going to sub at an office that over the weekend, and I said, well, you might want to ask them what they're expecting of you. And she said, why? I said, well, because I've heard a little bit about that office. So she did. She said, what do you expect me to do? And they said, seat the patient, examine the patient, take 4 x-rays, develop them, mount them, chart decay, clean the teeth, polish the teeth, do a fluoride treatment, and leave 5 minutes for the doctor to check. And she said, okay, how much time do I have? And they said, 30 minutes. And she said, well, what if I can't get it done in 30 minutes? And the answer was, don't worry, I'll get it next time. Well, think about that. First of all, if you can't get it now in 30 minutes, it'll be even worse and harder to get off in 6 months, so you're not going to get it then either. And let's go back to the numbers. They do now 2 patients at $75 each in an hour and make $150. Remember I said I might charge $100 for the same procedure? I make a third less income by doing it right and being thorough than the office that's running them through, like it sounds like Nathan maybe had.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt that doing it the way you do it, Doc, and the way a lot of dentists do it, I mean, being thorough, giving the time, is not necessarily the most profitable way to do dentistry, and that's not what the title of my lecture is anyway.
Well, no, I guess it was more, I'm hoping to open Nathan's eyes into, he's actually probably onto something, and he should therefore maybe search out another office that maybe is more thorough and then suits his definition of good dentistry or excellent dentistry.
Sure.
Nathan, thank you so much for the call, and we really appreciate it.
Thank you for taking my call, and I had a guess for your...
That's right, okay, that's right.
I'm going to guess somewhere around 40% offer outside financing.
40%?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to log that, and since you mentioned it, I'm going to read a couple more that came in by email as we were talking. Nathan says 40%. Carla sent an email that says 100%. And Jennifer, 82%. So, and of course, we'll give the answer here in just a little bit. We're almost up against another break, but before we do, I want to, basically, Dr. Reznor, I want to give you another question to ponder. So we talked about the people on the list are just preferred because they're preferred by the insurance companies, basically. And I think you've already covered the fact that, you know, insurance companies really, I guess the question is, do they really care about dental health of their subscribers? And then I wanted to get into maybe some stories that you could share with us where patients have come to you, I know I have some, from a previous office or another office where they were maybe the victims of work that was a little less than what it should have been, and the kinds of things that you find yourself having to undo. So you're listening to Dentally Speaking here on Talk 1230 WYTS. Our phone number is 821-1230. And we will be right back.
You're always in my heart, from early in the morning till it's dark.
Talk 1230 WYTS, you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. And my guest on the show this morning is Dr. Stephen Reznor. We had Dr. Reznor on a while back, and he was such a great guest, and we had such a good conversation, and so many things I couldn't get to that I asked him back, and he was nice enough to get up early and join me again. So, Dr. Reznor, thank you so much for that. And the questions that I posed, one was, you know, do insurance companies really care about the health of their subscribers? I know that might sound like a dumb question to listeners, but it's not a dumb question. I think you'll explain that in a second. And then the other is, you know, the kinds of things, maybe some stories from your own experience of, you know, what you've run into when people have gone to these offices that aren't making clinical excellence their primary goal.
Well, the first question I'll say to you is, do they really care, do insurance companies really care about the best health possible for our patients? And, you know, I hope, again, I know I always had these little side comments, I hope the listeners understand, it sounds like I'm picking, or that you're picking, Dr. K, that when we talk about insurance companies, and there'll be somebody out there listening that might say, oh, you're just saying that because you want to make a ton of money and drive a nice car, and they're not paying you enough, and something, I mean, I don't know how much you can tell from a voice. You know, I chose 30 years ago, 29 years ago, to run my dental practice a certain way. And, you know, at the end of the day, I have to sleep and feel good about myself. And, you know, I'm not the only fine dentist in America. There's lots of us.
Right.
But the truth is, there's some things that we do, if you're really good, that are inconsistent with staying to be good, and that's taking and accepting the fees of certain insurance companies that don't care about the best for your health, and I'll prove it to you right now.
Okay.
You know, I wonder how many listeners out there right now have a partial lower denture in their sock drawer or in their closet, or maybe they use it for a fishing fishing lure, because they certainly can't put it in their mouth.
Uh-huh.
You know, and insurance companies will cover that expense for you because they're very happy to do that for you because it's a cheap way to replace lower teeth. You know, Dr. Kvitko and myself know, as many other dentists, that most of you don't wear those because they're very uncomfortable to get used to. Now, that's not saying that somebody out there is not successful with them. I'm sure you are. But for the most part, in my 29 years, my observations are that they're not a very predictably successful way to replace lower teeth. We do better on the upper teeth with them. And that doesn't mean I never do them. Sometimes I do them. You walk into my office and you've been wearing one successfully? Yeah, I'll replace it. But let's say you come into our office on Monday, and for the first time in your life, you've really checked out your teeth thoroughly, or not for the first time in years. And you're going to lose four lower teeth. There's no way to save them. And I say to you, you know what? You're 50 years old. If there's any way we can make this work for you, fit it in your budget, I'm going to replace those teeth with something fixed that stays in your mouth. It's called implants. I would assure, and then what happens is you go back to your insurance company, and they don't cover that expense. I'm not saying every insurance company, but I can confidently say that most would not cover that.
Right.
And they're not going to cover that because they know that it is a more costly way to, not because it's not a predictable way. 97% of implants work, are successful.
Yeah, we did a show about a dentist in North Carolina that does implants, and of course I do them and you do too. So, I mean, it's the way to go.
Yeah, it's the way to go, but a lot of times our patients are deterred, and I understand it. You know, if one plan costs a few thousand dollars more that we offer a patient, you know, a treatment plan, because insurance companies are paying zero on that fee, it does influence the average person. I get it. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean it's the best care. It's not the best care. It's not even close. And, you know, dentistry has evolved like every other science out there, and, you know, 30 years ago, we didn't have airbags in our cars, and we didn't have such safety devices. Well, 30 years later in dentistry, there are better ways to replace teeth in the mouth than there were in 1980. And insurance companies just don't care about that, most of them. I can confidently say that. I would welcome the opportunity to debate on your show or any show, live, television, radio, it doesn't matter to me. What is the real agenda by most dental insurance companies? Is it to provide the best care, or is it because it's a cheaper way for them to get by as a provider?
Right. I'd love to be a part of that debate also. Maybe we can have a debate team. I haven't invited any insurance companies, executives, dental insurance company executives on the show yet.
I don't think they would either.
I'm pretty sure that they would decline. because you're absolutely right. I mean, first of all, that most companies don't pay for them, even though they've been in the mouth in humans for over 30 years. Actually, sooner than that. I think 1972, I think, might have been the first human trial. I know there was research on being done on baboons in 1970s, 4, 5, 6. And yet, they're still claiming they are investigational. It's just ridiculous. When we come back, we're going to give the answer to the question of the day. And we'll wrap things up here with Dr. Rasner. I have some more questions for him. I'm almost afraid I'm going to have him back. Not afraid, I would love that. But anyway, you're listening to Dentally Speaking here on Talk 1230 WYTS, and we'll be right back. Talk 1230 WYTS, you're listening to Dentally Speaking here with Dr. Kavitko. And my guest today has been Dr. Stephen Rasner, and we're talking about excellence in dentistry. Before I get involved in this last segment of the show, and by the way, it's 7 minutes till the hour, I do want to give out the answer to the question of the day, as well as list a couple more guesses that have come into the phone lines. Shannon guessed 48%, and Cooper called in a guess of 91%. Now, the question was, what percent of dentists offer outside financing? Dr. Rasner, do you have a guess?
Yeah, that's a good one. I really don't know. I'm going to guess 71%.
Okay, because you were actually almost right on the last time we had you on the show, the guess that day, and I can't remember what the question was. Maybe you do, but you were within 2%. This time you're a little bit low. The answer is 88%.
Wow.
That's a lot better than it used to be, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. I'm impressed.
So what that means is it allows people, I guess this kind of is a tie-in, because we're talking about how people might say, well, I just want my insurance covers, and we're saying that insurance isn't really looking out for your benefit. And so people might say, but how can I afford what it is that I need? And obviously dentists have figured it out that if you help people afford the best care that's available, they'll do it.
Yeah, it's a very nice alternative to offer our patients. Really is.
And of course, that's another whole show about why insurance companies are only paying $1,000, and it's 2000 and whatever. It's like they were paying $1,000 in 1960.
And, exactly. That is another show. And I would come back, by the way.
Are you in? Okay, that'd be great. I'd love to have you back. Now, before you go, though, I want to extract as much information from your brain as I can, because I just love everything about the way you run your office, and I think you're a great dentist and a great guy. And how would you suggest that a person go about finding the? Oh, I'm sorry, I have two questions. Let's hope I have room for both. How would you suggest that a person go about finding the absolute best dentist in town if they are new to the area? The other one, which I think I want you to answer first, is what would you say is the single most important quality people should look for in a dentist? Do that one first.
The single most important quality they should look for is the time given to you at your initial visit. Seriously, and I know we've talked about this at length in these couple shows I've done with you, but, you know, Nathan called during our show today and talked about a 35-minute visit, where lots of you have had 35-minute cleanings. Dr. K, you mentioned that in this show as well. You just can't do the job. It's not because we're trying to make it longer. You know, you can't do a good job. And Dr. K is right on the money when he says that, because, you know, we, in our careers of 30 years or 20 years, whatever it is, we have different hygienists for different reasons. They move and you have to get a new one. And I can tell you that when you tell a new hygienist, the person that cleans our patient's teeth, that they have an hour to do each visit, it is something many of them are not used to. Lots of them get 45 minutes. Well, guess what? 15 more minutes, think about it, means a lot to our patients. And that's just one component of the type of care we deliver. So the thing that nobody is ever going to feel in my office, and I'm sure Dr. Kavicko's office and many other dentists all over the United States, is that you're never going to feel rushed. It just doesn't happen. It's not how I run my practice. And that means I see less patients per day. That means that, you know, you don't feel like I'm a chicken without a head running around my office. Doesn't mean I'm not busy, because I am busy, because there's a lot of demand for that kind of care. But it's the time spent. And it's the time spent at the very first visit, getting to know you a little bit. We ask most of our patients, Dr. Vicko, to come in with a spouse, to come in with a significant other, mm-hmm. if they think they have significant needs.
Right.
If there's somebody that's been every 6 months and just needs a checkup, you know, we don't use that type of protocol. But, you know, a lot of our patients, new patients, have been out of care for many years. You know, I understand that. I get it, because things don't always hurt. And I would make sure that I was given adequate time. You know, if somebody felt they were rushing me, and I'd say other things, I could go into a whole show on this. I mean, if the dentist himself was a person that wasn't, I don't know how you say this, well-kept.
Right.
You know, if he seemed sloppy and his particular smile wasn't great, or if his breath offended me,
right.
I'm not kidding.
Mm-hmm.
I would think twice about where I was having my care done.
I agree with all of those, and I that's a great answer. You know, obviously, I think what we're saying is integrity, and how do you judge integrity? And you do it by how long they're spending with you, how calm, how collected they are themselves, and how compassionate they appear to be, all of those things. And you're not going to find a lot of compassion in a 30-minute exam, x-ray, cleaning, you know, check for decay appointment. So, Dr. Rasner, I really appreciate, again, you being on the show, and I would love to have you back sometime. And
well, you can count me in.
Okay. That's so much appreciated. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Be sure to tune in next week at Sunday morning at 10. I'm sorry, Sunday morning at 9, here on Talk 1230 WYTS. Thank you very much. We'll